Maximum Credible Accident by John Howlett, with Hugh Dixon as Gordon Allen and Patricia Gallimore as Kate. Part 5, Tuscan Scar.
Gray fast breeder reactor, Thursday morning, 8:52 and 34 seconds. Computer readout. Core excursion triggers scram shutdown. 17 out of 19 control rods fail to enter the core. The reactor will no longer shut down. At this point, 8:52, 34 and 7/10 seconds, the computer enters unprogrammed territory and cannot further analyze the situation. It starts to print out instead alternating lines of question and exclamation marks.
Le scram! Il n'a plus rien!
Call out alarm systems and sodium temperature.
Fuel contamination.
Fuel pin failure.
Overheating at number one generator.
Call out sodium temperatures at their highest level.
Sodium fire at number one generator.
Sodium temperature at 850 degrees.
Seal off number one generator. Activate dump condensers. Check pressure relief valve. Keep reading the sodium.
855.
Johnny for you on the blower.
Enzo.
What the hell's going on? There's alarms blowing all over the building.
Evacuate all personnel to shelter. We've lost it.
Lost what?
The reactor scrammed and only two control rods went down. There's been some sort of an explosion inside the core. Sodium is contaminated and overheating, and we've already lost one generator.
860.
Gianni, if you have an evacuation procedure with the local authority, you better dig it out quick. And find your American visitor. He's somewhere outside. Get him under cover.
Simulating crisis conditions. You do that every time you have an emergency drill? You're blowing valuable steam off three of your stacks. This is an exercise, isn't it?
Evacuation procedure in the event of emergency. Preparations for evacuation to be carried out under the cover of a NATO military exercise codenamed Tuscan Scar. Area and extent of operations dependent on wind and weather forecasts.
855, coming down.
Switch off those bloody alarms. Enzo, this is Dave Ridgeway.
How bad is it?
The control rods have jammed. There's been a fuel pin failure, maybe a meltdown. We've lost one of the generators. How much worse could it be?
850.
We could turn the lights out and go home for all the good we can do.
840.
Three whole walls covered with instruments, and we haven't the slightest idea what happened or what's going on inside the damn thing.
830.
Is there an analysis printout?
The computer's given up. We're blind.
795.
At least the temperature's coming down. Where's the English girl?
She's up on a hill somewhere, visiting your radiation research clinic.
750.
Staff at the clinic will have to be alerted. I shall ask him to tell her what's happened.
No, don't do that. Hmm? The fewer people that know, the better. Unless it becomes absolutely necessary to tell them.
735.
Can I ask what the evacuation procedure involves?
Well, for the first 6 hours, only troop and transport movements, which take place under cover of a military exercise.
So what has happened here is still between ourselves?
And at the moment, yes.
And please God will remain so.
Dad, are you driving to the station?
Yes.
Breakfast ready. I wouldn't look at the paper, darling.
What's happened now?
Looks like a leak.
Fast deal on slow breeder. When will the Guardian stop writing prep school headlines?
Department of Energy officials in London are thought to be seeking agreement with representatives from Washington on joint finance and participation in the proposed and much postponed commercial fast breeder, now under examination by Mr. Justice Pyatt. Where the hell did that come from? There isn't even a byline on the article.
Sit down and eat your breakfast.
I think I've suddenly lost my appetite.
It's not damn well fair. You can't be held responsible for everything that happens.
Par for the course this week, isn't it?
We apologize for the late arrival of the mainline train, Dover on
This is due to a point failure at Paddock Wood.
Gordon?
Ashley, what on earth are you doing here?
The Secretary of State is outside in a car.
If this leak came from inside the department, Gordon, Boadicea will have my testicles fried. Right in the middle of an official state visit by the French, and we're caught with one public hand up the Yankee skirt.
I'm quite sure such a leak couldn't have come from our side, Secretary of State.
For your sake, I should hope not.
Look, I'm on my way to a special session at number 10. Seeing as I missed yesterday's cabinet meeting. After this little number, Ordish is going to insist on a decision before the leak lets in too much water. He has a weekend house party at his pig farm, to which, lo and behold, stranger though I am, I have been invited. So, come Saturday morning, Gordon, I must have your policy document in my hand, everything laid out. Do we go for the fast breeder, and if we go, do we go with the Americans?
Where to, Secretary of State?
Round the park. Drop me at the back of Downing Street.
How quickly you trim your sails, Dr. Martin. One weekend invitation, and you're already dusting Ordish's coattail. The Foreign Office has discounted any alternative partnership. It'll only take the Chancellor to tell you on Saturday that under no circumstances can we afford to build the fast breeder on our own, and all Ordish's pieces will have fallen into place.
Is that what the Chancellor is going to say?
That's the card I would play if I were Ordish.
Well, in that case, we must play our card first. Whatever it is, this is your decision, and I intend you to make it without pressure from anyone else. I also intend to stick by it one way or the other.
1 minute to go, Secretary of State, or you'll be late for Mother.
All yours then, Gordon. And for God's sake, be sure we're not making some terrible mistake.
Seven seven five, we're going up on sodium temperature. 785. 795.
What the hell is it?
Flow must be blocked.
805.
Melting fuel on a diagrid?
Oh, I hope to God not.
815. 825. 835.
I'm going to boost primary pumps.
845.
What if the extra pressure moves the damaged fuel pins?
855.
Oh, either way, we're caught.
865.
Primary pumps to maximum.
875.
Primary pumps running up.
885. 895. 895. 895.
Caught it.
885. 875.
Oh, it's coming down.
At least that proves the pumps give some element of control.
855.
You call this control?
845.
It's like we'd locked up a dangerous wild animal to perform tricks for us. And now the cage door swung open and no one can get near enough to close it.
Foreign Secretary on the line for you, sir. The red phone.
Thank you. Hello?
Ordish here. I've had a whisper from the American Embassy. There seems to have been some sort of mishap at this reactor place in Italy.
A serious mishap?
Not so far as I know. I see no reason to alarm anyone else with the news. The Italians and the French are, it seems, of the opinion that it would be best hushed up for the time being. You might wish to take your own precautions about the more susceptible members of your department to make sure that whatever has happened does not affect the decision that has to be taken this weekend. I leave it to you. Bye.
I see.
Alan?
Gordon, I gather your deadline is for Saturday. I suggest you take the rest of today and tomorrow at home to work on it there. What with leaks and one thing and another, there are too many distractions for you here in the office. Incidentally, the press officer tells me the Washington Post is running the same story as the Guardian. No names mentioned. Which would suggest there could well be an American journalist behind it all.
Kiore, sono. What is the time, American boy?
Noon.
It is a long time since I slept so well. Did you hold my hand?
There's someone moving outside.
I hope there is. We can't get out of this van if there isn't.
Where are we?
In an underground car park.
Am I your prisoner?
Why should that be?
We've been here for 12 hours.
We are waiting.
I don't have time to wait.
You are impatient.
And hungry.
Your reactor is in the newspaper, Mr. Henshaw. 5 lines on page 6. Here. Segre, K. came on stream at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
It is very un-Italian to boast so little about such an achievement.
And we would now like to know why you think that half the Italian army and navy would suddenly want to move into a large concentration around Segre.
Maybe they're expecting Anna here with her sabotage plans.
They started to move under a near alert 3 hours ago.
How do you know?
We always intercept military radio.
What's a near alert?
No radioactivity. Now, your clothes and your bag. Oh, we kept some of your money to hire a car. We drive south and see what's happening at this power station.
Gentlemen, your attention, please. We think we have a possible sequence to follow. Now, Enzo, when you used the boost on the pumps, we had a temperature fluctuation of 145 degrees, and a short time later, a marginal drop in reactivity. Now, we believe that one of the control rods moved down a few millimeters into the core.
And given the situation, it's worth trying again. Coast the pumps down to bring the temperature up and see if that rod won't find the rest of its way down.
If we raise heat, we put strain on the generators. We've already lost one of them.
We reduce temperature after each coast down.
Without control rods?
Boosting the pumps.
And if the pumps burn out?
No one's pretending it's an ideal scenario, Enzo, but the rule book doesn't exist anymore. And we have to try any damn thing.
Before evacuation.
The army moved everyone out of the local farms this afternoon. There isn't a living soul within 8 kilometers.
8 kilometers? Yeah. Even 80 kilometers wouldn't be enough if we start leaking death into this kind of gale. We should be evacuating a radius of 180 kilometers.
Which would bring you to Florence in the north and Rome in the south. Now, no one in government would accept that responsibility, even if evacuation on that scale was possible. No. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Oh, just a moment. We'd like senior operators to sleep on the premises until further notice.
I'll bring my toothbrush in a lead-lined coffin.
Can you drop Mr. Ridgeway at his hotel?
Tell me, Johnny. Since no one is prepared to take responsibility in government, who is taking responsibility here?
God has responsibility here. And if you're still a praying man, you better get down on your knees and tell him.
Laguna Beach, October the 5th, 1966. A piece of loose debris blocks the flow of sodium into the fuel core of an experimental fast breeder. An operator mistakenly overrides the fail-safe shutdown, and two fuel bundles overheat and melt. The first possible consequence is an explosion that will release radioactivity into the atmosphere. The first precaution, to evacuate the nearby city of Detroit. In actual fact, the evacuation alert given to local civil authorities was never put into force, and all trace of it later purged from public records. The second possible consequence is a protracted and uncontrollable meltdown, where eventually the fuel will burn through the steel and concrete containers into the earth below, drilling its way like a white-hot ball bearing dropped into butter, down towards the center of the earth, and China on the other side. The China Syndrome.
The miracle of nuclear accidents. Apart from Kishtin, the ultimate disaster has never yet happened. Good judgment or just good fortune? And who was it in 1966 who decided not to evacuate Detroit? Or in 1979, not to evacuate Harrisburg? And what if one day the ultimate disaster does happen? And public opinion will no longer accept nuclear power.
You want some help?
It's getting too dark to see anything out here. This bloody net's caught on every button I've got. Or to protect a handful of cabbages from the wood pigeons. Is a wood pigeon an act of God, Roxy?
Gift of nature, Dad. Where's the other end of the net?
That's what I've been looking for the last half hour.
You keep pulling, I'll find it. You know, poison would be more effective.
Or a machine gun.
The indiscriminate massacre of all winged things.
You can imagine how that would go down in the locality. It's far more acceptable here to abuse children than to threaten animals.
Can you hear the starlings in the wood?
Better tell Colonel Pendle they're on his larches. If they settle in the plantation every night this winter, he won't have any trees left by the spring. Smothered to death in bird muck. What a way to go. Okay, pull it tight, your end.
Okay. Dad?
Yeah?
The thing in the garden this morning.
The leak?
I think I might have had something to do with it.
Oh?
That journalist who came to the studio, I mean, I thought he was just interested or being polite or something. We got talking about fast breeders and he asked a lot of questions.
What sort of journalist is he?
Freelance. He gets things in Time Out and NME. I first heard of him on Gay News.
Say something, Gordon. Forbidden subject number one, and Rox has made a signal. Make a signal back.
I'd hate to think anything I'd said got you into trouble.
Too late.
You coming in?
Yes. The moon rising behind Pendle's dead elm tree. What an awful sense of foreboding and melancholy.
You'd have thought civil war had broken out today. I've never seen so many army lorries in my life.
Military exercise of some sort.
What happened to you? Hmm? You came back to the hotel looking like you'd been to a funeral. Have my French rivals been getting at you?
Possibly. Did you have a fun day?
Watching mice and monkeys dying of leukemia and God knows what else. I'm feeling decidedly squeamish, which isn't helped by watching you decapitate your fish and do awful things to their heads.
Sucking out the brains.
Oh.
They're good for you. My Yiddish mama also told me you can always tell how someone makes love by watching them eat.
If you really had a Yiddish mama, Dave Ridgway, you'd tell better jokes.
I'll tell you some better jokes when I bring you your nightcap.
Oh, dear. Another nightcap?
Well, are you going to help me forget the cares of the world tonight?
I told you I'm not much good at any of that.
You mean you're gay?
No. If there has to be a hand on my knee, I'd rather it was a man's.
So it's me you don't like?
I didn't say that. It's just a matter of attitude. I mean, you have to suspend your sense of the ridiculous. Bodies and everything. I seem to float up to the ceiling and watch myself from there.
Do you watch yourself sitting on the john?
Well, at least that's unavoidable and functional. Your hand is straying, David Ridgway.
You have very soft skin.
There's nothing there for it to stray towards. Naked, I'm a white ghost. Bones and no bosom.
And I have a short little tail. Now, does that get rid of our hang-ups? Come down off the ceiling, Kate, and let me in between your sheets.
How much further?
4 hours.
What happens when we get there?
We'll leave the car in the fishing village, then walk 10 kilometers along the cliffs. That's the only way to get a sight of the reactor without crossing the perimeter fence.
How do we walk if she has a bad leg?
We walk slowly. Have you written that letter?
I can't write in a moving car. Anyway, who is this Enzo Falerna?
He's on our files. An old Communist Party activist. He would never do anything for us, but tell him you're a journalist and he might talk to you.
How many people do you keep on file?
Anyone who might light fires. Are you going to light fires, American boy?
I didn't think you were allowed to do things like that.
In the act of love, sweet girl, nothing is forbidden.
That faraway look is creeping back into your left eye.
My lazy eye.
I think it's your thinking eye. I wish you'd tell me what happened to upset you today.
You mean I'm not allowed to have any more secrets from you now?
You haven't exactly left me with any of my own.
Well, they're nighttime secrets, personal and sacred. And daytime secrets are political and dangerous.
So something did happen.
It wouldn't do you any good to know.
I think it's meant to be my job to find out.
You will, in time, if it turns out to be important.
It's important enough to have got you worried.
Look, in my present situation, I worry about everything. I only have 3 more days to persuade you people into partnership. I'm looking for your help, lady love.
Is that what you've been working at tonight?
Hey, fighting words.
Perhaps you'd better go before I spoil our beautiful relationship.
Not with my tail between my legs.
Go to bed and sleep in peace.
You should get some sleep.
Oh, what's the time?
12:15.
Who's in charge tonight?
Pippo. And they're in the middle of their second coastline.
You and the French, you're all bloody crazy. Pushing up the sodium temperatures without any guarantee you can get them down again.
Well, there's damn all else we can do, old man.
And what if nothing happens? Huh? We don't blow up, but we can't shut down.
We stay here until it's safe for us to start poking around inside.
And how long will that take?
About 15 years, if we're lucky.
And if we're unlucky?
Wind scale, October 8th, 1957. An operating error causes overheating in one of the reactors and 11 tons of uranium catch fire. Unknown to the general public, the resulting plume of radioactive iodine travels on the wind, reaching as far as London and beyond. The plant is evacuated, and in the absence of more sophisticated methods, the fire is at great risk extinguished with an old-fashioned water hose. No attempt is made to keep any official record of after effects on public health, but in 1981, a group of independent scientists establish a minimum of 300 thyroid cancers as a direct result of this accident. Both windscale reactors were closed down after the accident, both left intact and filled with concrete, their radioactivity entombed. It was hoped forever.
Policy document, paragraph 4. No system has yet been finalized for the safe long-term storage of radioactive waste. And waste product will, of course, include, as at wind scale, the remains of the power stations themselves when they're phased out. And not only the power stations, but also the contaminated tools and machines used to dismantle them. The British nuclear industry believes, quote, that the problems of tomorrow should not be judged with the technology of today.
Oh, no. 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 If a problem is too difficult to solve, one cannot claim it will be solved by pointing to all the efforts being made to solve it.
Gordon, are you coming to bed?
I suppose so.
Are you still writing that thing?
I thought I was. 6 pages of gibberish to persuade myself and Dr. Martin that fast breeders are desirable and necessary.
Are you crazy? It's taken you all week to get that far.
What if I change my mind about it?
A bit late in the day, isn't it?
Come to that. What if by next week I was no longer a respected senior civil servant?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. You don't get sacked for changing your mind.
Civil servants never get sacked for anything.
So what are you saying?
I might have to dramatize my change of mind.
How?
By stripping off my clothes and running stark naked and screaming down Whitehall.
Have you been drinking?
In other words, there are, I think, certain circumstances in which I would consider resigning.
Gordon?
Of course, such a decision would affect all of you as well, a reduction in our balance of payments. We might even have to move to a smaller house.
You are joking, aren't you?
If I hadn't funked it this evening, I could have talked to Roxy. I mean, really talked openly. For the first time in God knows how long.
Talked about what?
About him. The way he is.
You mean the way he thinks he is?
I'm suddenly tired of not facing things, Mary. Mary?
I'm going to bed.
Oh, dear. If you weren't far away in Italy, Kate, I'd be tempted to dial your number tonight. Hello, Kate. Sorry to drag you out of bed, but I should like to hold your hand.
and have you tell me exactly why you believe that the splitting of the atom, for whatever purpose, is not one day going to wipe us all off the face of the earth.
Enzo.
Mm-hmm. Wake up, pal.
It's four in the bloody morning.
We need you in the control room. We lost one of the pumps on the last countdown.
Oh. Here we go, you son of a whore. Riding the mushroom cloud again.
Attempts continue and will continue to shift the jammed control rods by raising and lowering core temperature through the speed of the three surviving pumps. But the only result will be additional strain on vulnerable components. Time for Segre is counting down now, not in days, but in hours and minutes.
In part 5 of Maximum Credible Accident by John Howlett, Gordon Aylin was played by Hugh Dixon, Kate by Patricia Gallimore, and the voice of Muff by Hayden Jones. Dr. Martin, Michael N. Harbour, Ordish, Mark Woolgar, the Permanent Undersecretary, Anthony Benson, Dave Ridgway, Blaine Fairman, Ainsa, Terry Molloy, Gianni, Nigel Lambert, Henshaw, Kerry Shale, Mary, Patricia Gibson, Roxy, Kim Durham, Anna Lindop, and Ashley Graham Padden. The theme music was composed by Robert Campbell and Michael Shepherd. The serial was directed in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine.